Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Ross Ferguson. You know what I'm scared of, Ross?
What's that?
I'm scared that Dr. Matthew Barrett's going to come storming through this door any second now.
So we should explain our usual time slot is the dead dark hours of early morning.
It's usually dark when we're doing
it. It's like 7 a.m. or something we're normally in. Yeah. And we are not recording at 7 a.m. We are recording at currently 5 past 3 p.m.
Yes.
And at 3 p.m.
Well, I happened to look today. I didn't put this into the schedule. Somebody just walked by the window and brought the show.
I immediately looked up.
Like, oh, who is it? I usually you go into Planning Center. We use Planning Center and I go in there, and when we've agreed this is when we're going to do it, I'll go in there and look. And sometimes, usually actually I look ahead of time and say, okay, it's clear. And then I ask you, can you do it this time? This time around, we were just like, oh, we can't do it this time. Can't do it that time. And this was the only time this week we could do it, was 3 p.m. on a Wednesday. And so we just booked it. Well, today I thought, oh, I should look to see if anyone's actually in the studio. And apparently the Credo podcast has a standing slot for 3 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So we got in here. We just sat here for a few minutes to make sure.
Yeah. My answer was, let's wait till 3:01, because if it's at 3:01, you're late. We took your slot.
That's right. But it's 3:05 when we started. So we gave him even more than that, because we started talking.
Do you think any of our listeners listen to Credo? And do you think any of Credo listeners listen to us?
I'm sure there's some overlap, but I bet that Venn diagram's real thin.
I feel like I want to call on those Credo guys that are listening to write a review.
Yeah.
We know you're listening.
We know the powers that be don't listen to this.
Well,
because they've never said anything about
we've said something
about goofing off, and we've said a few things. So I mean, so we know they don't.
Mm.
I don't know. I know the Credo people don't, but you mean like the listeners, Credo listeners.
I mean, the fact that the higher ups don't listen doesn't really hurt because of the things we say. But if you listen to Credo and you listen to us, I kind of want to hear from you as to which one you prefer.
Oh, interesting. Start a little beef.
I start a little beef between the two podcasts.
Yeah. How you been, man?
Ridiculous.
Aside from trying to start fights with our colleagues.
This semester, this kind of season has been super busy for me. Yeah. I feel like in the summer, I said yes to many, many things. And then many, many things arrived all at the same time. So I would say this has probably been the busiest season we have had since coming to Kansas City.
Okay.
Which I'm generally okay with busy. This is a whole a whole new level.
Yeah.
And Miriam has forced me to say no to things, which is code for I'm saying yes to things, but I'm just pushing them back a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, we're really good as a family. We're really enjoying the season once again. Kids are doing fantastic. And we did had to kind of lay down some rules in the house. We got a little lax on our studies. So,
but didn't, is it Leah just get the National Honor Society?
She got into the National Junior Honor Society.
Wow, they let foreigners in there. That's something.
Well, do you know what happened is so we had to go to this big kind of event at school. And so Leah's done incredibly well academically. She was recognized for her volunteering and all the things that she does, which is just a great honor for me as a dad to hear this. Well, they read out everything. The president of the society stands up and reads out the names and they get their certificate, all these sorts of things. And as soon as the event finishes, I go down to Leah and I say to Leah, I'm really proud of you, but hey, next year, president.
Ooh.
And she just went, I knew you would say that. And I went, and so what's the aim? And she went, I know, president next year.
Wow.
So you a year to today, we need to have another chat about this. And I hope to be saying Leah's now a president of an American National Junior Honor Society.
Nothing your daughter does is good enough. You're always setting the bar. You're one of those dads.
Well, sure. We were incredibly proud of her.
Of course.
And the twins are doing incredibly well. Miriam and I are just kind of nursing ourselves to the end of the semester.
Yeah.
So we're just in that world. We're in the moment of the semester that we're not really happy. Do you know, it's that kind of moment where all the assignments land, all the reading lands. So it feels like we're churning through things a little bit at the minute. But
when this episode comes out, it'll be a week from finishing, right? So why don't you just speak optimistically?
Okay, so I got straight A's and everything went really well.
And we just had a great Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. You guys are coming over for Thanksgiving.
Oh, so that was great.
It was a great meal.
Do you know what is a bit weird this semester, though?
Yeah, yeah.
I am taking no classes with you, nor am I doing anything at church where I'm sitting in a lecture with you or anything like that. So this is a weird semester for me.
Well, you're coming to PTC. You're assisting with PTC, so you're showing up on those things.
Sure, but it feels strange. There's only one class.
If you want me to boss you around, I'll try. But
there's only one class that you teach that I have yet to take. And it's your gospel center teaching, which I feel like
it's only online. You don't really do that, do you?
I don't really do online, I feel like I've heard enough from you about gospel center teaching. To return the question, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've been for, as you well know, hopefully by the time this episode comes out, I'm all done with it. But I've had for a month now some kind of head cold situation that I can't quite kick. I feel fine, and that's the upside. It's more annoying than anything else. It's all been kind of in my head. So I have felt physically okay, even went to Disney World for a couple of days with this, head junk and sinus junk. I have felt enough, well enough to travel. I think there was only like 1 or 2 days, maybe a day and a half where I just felt really blah. But other than that, and so even at the time of this recording, we're going on literally 4 weeks, I think, of me having something going on. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like I've never had allergies, but maybe it's an allergy thing. I can't figure out what else it is. I actually did go to a doctor after a couple of weeks and negative for strep. They sent the thing into the lab. They said they'd give me a call if I needed to know anything. They didn't give me a call. So I just figure it's just a weird, dumb head cold. But aside from that, doing great. Finished the last of our ministry travel this last weekend. Went to Iowa and Oklahoma. Again, at the time of this recording, next week we'll be going to Virginia just to attend a conference, have some time of renewal and kind of refreshing, which is something I don't normally do. I don't actually just go and...
Do you find that weird?
It is very weird, yeah. Yeah, we're meeting up with some friends there, so we're looking forward to spending some time with them. But I realized coming towards the end of the year, I was like, I have a little budget from the church for, I forget what they call it, ongoing enrichment or continuing education.
Professional
or
development.
Yeah, something like that. And I was like, I might as well use this. It's already, it's there. And so I looked to see where our friends were going to be.
Yeah.
And we thought we can meet up with them in Virginia and do this thing. And so, church budget covered the airfare. I actually got the seminary professional development funds. I had some left for the year to cover my hotel. And so it'll be a nice little kind of pressure's off. And time of refreshing.
Perfect before you write your D-min dissertation.
That's the plan, man. I've
heard this before.
I know. And I have to do it now to make good on all the blessings people have given me. The elders have given me off December from preaching. I'm doing the first Sunday in December.
Yeah.
But after that, I've got the whole month off. I don't have any book deadlines, no ministry travel, no preaching on Sundays. So I have no more excuses. The excuses are over. If I don't get it done, I am lazy officially.
I'm preaching on December 8th, which is 3 days
after. You need to send your title, by the way.
I do. It's 3 days after all my finals. So if I am writing a sermon 3 days after finals and you are not writing your dissertation,
you're going to be,
shaming me. Guys, next members meeting, we need to raise something.
Well, I keep saying at the time of this recording.
Who knows when we're recording?
The timing of this recording is really important because we're coming up on the beginning, of course, of the Christmas season. For a lot of people, the Christmas season starts a lot earlier. For my wife, she had the house decorated before Halloween because we went to that Disney trip and she wanted it decorated when we came home.
Yeah.
So we got back on just November 2nd or whatever it was. And everything was already Christmassy for us, just waiting.
I'm not a fan, Becky, of that. I'm not a fan of that.
She wants to enjoy it through Thanksgiving. She wants to enjoy it all through Christmas and what have you. A lot of people do that. And I'm wondering if the reason why we keep doing Christmassy stuff earlier and earlier and earlier is because of how fast it seems to go by. When December hits, there's so much busyness, traveling, shopping, we're finishing things up, et cetera. And this is my experience of Christmas. So much goes into a sense of expectation about it. Mm. And then it comes and goes. And I'm like, wait, what just happened? Like, dirty dishes in the sink, wrapping paper on the floor. What happened to Christmas?
Damn.
And Advent, I think, helps us slow down and focus. Maybe we'll start here. what's your history with the experience of the observation of Advent? Did you, you know, grow up going to church where this was a thing, or was it a thing in your family, Advent?
Not really. So
mine either.
As a young kid, we didn't go to church. I was in an unsaved family. When we were a saved family, I remember Sundays having like a tone of Advent to it. Sometimes they would like have a mini sermon series. I can't remember that church ever doing things like candles or talking about the specific Sundays of what each one represents. So I would say it wasn't until I personally became a pastor where I began to really think through Advent, which was mainly, again, related to preaching. And then I would say it was maybe 4 years into being a pastor before I started to develop, actually, this is something that we want to deepen in our church. So I'm going, you know, vast majority of my life, Advent was this weird word that kind of meant that we're getting close to Christmas. And it wasn't until the kind of the main throes of ministry before I actually started recognizing that Advent was a quantifiable season, if you will, and that there was deeper meaning to it than just, hey, Christmas is coming soon.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I remember, I was thinking about this today. I was guesting on somebody else's podcast talking about Advent, actually. So in some ways, I got kind of a dry run for our conversation. But I was asked the same question, and I had to think back. I remember like when I was a little kid, maybe a couple of years where my family, and I don't know, I'm assuming this came from a church influence, but we had the Yule log, or we had the Advent log with the candle holders, and we put a candle in each week, and when we'd light it, and there was a kind of reading that went with it. We did that maybe 2 years. It was not a family tradition in the sense that we did it every year, and I grew up like, oh, this is what this is.
Yeah.
It was almost like it was like a novelty of some kind that we tried or something. And so it wasn't until, again, you know, like you, that I became a pastor, in particular in my church in Vermont, where they actually, you know, had an Advent readings, and they did the candle lighting, the you know, love, hope, joy, peace candles, and that sort of thing. Every Christmas, it was just a part of their tradition that now as the pastor is like, oh, I'll get it. I better get up to speed on this. I better figure this out. And I came to really enjoy it because of that sort of slow intentionality, that focus. It really helped me not just, number one, get hung up on the Christmas morning experience.
Yes.
And also like just gunning for that, just like sprinting towards that. It helped me kind of slow down and anticipate. We should explain for those who may be listening going like, I don't even know what this means. Advent, like what is that all about? There's probably a lot of listeners who are in church traditions where they've not heard of this, or it's just not, you know, practice. Advent obviously means coming or arrival or beginning, right? So in the Advent season, what we're doing is anticipating or commemorating the first Advent, Christ's first coming, the Son of God incarnating as a baby. We're anticipating the Christmas event. And what this anticipation does, I think, for us is in some ways mirror where we as Christians are in church history, anticipating the second Advent. Mm-hmm. One thing I think the December 1st through 24th can help us do is sort of become more mindful about the other, you know, 300 some days of the year, where we're looking forward to Christ's return. We're looking forward to heaven. I don't know about you, but there are days that weeks go by that I don't think about that.
Yep.
I'm not thinking the Lord's coming back, and I should have a sense of anticipation and expectation about that. I think it would help me in not having a kind of hurry, busy sickness in my everyday life, you know?
One of the things I was thinking about when it comes to things like Advent and Christmas is in some church traditions, there's a debate of how involved should we be with Christmas and Advent? Because that's kind of a, you know, a pagan thing, and they have a few different things come to mind. And I'm actually taking a church history class right now. And one of the things I found really interesting is that Advent actually goes, in terms of a like a quantifiable, here's some evidence, all the way back to kind of 300 years post-Christ, when Christmas by the church was selected to be on the 25th of December. And there's sermon series that you can find up to about the kind of 4th, 5th century where they're talking about Christ's arrival and the celebration of his arrival and meditating on the fact that he will return. And now, and we should be looking for that. So there's something in that actually for 1600 years, there has been a church tradition of anticipating the birth of Christ and the celebration that he's going to return again.
Yeah.
So this isn't some, like, we're joining you know, the pagan world and celebrating Christmas and just trying to attach Christian stuff to it.
Yeah.
This is...
It's not like that Halloween nonsense.
Exactly. It's intrinsically been part of the church for a long time. And one of the things I was going to say is that for me, Christmas Day feels more and more like this world, where Advent feels more and more like the Christian world.
Yeah.
And I think that's because the world don't really recognize Advent, because they're not really anticipating the birth of Christ. They're anticipating Christmas Day.
Interesting.
Am I just going off on a tangent here?
No, it's just, it's got my head sort of, you know, turning, the wheels turning in my head. If in some way Advent, when you, Advent gives us a taste of the, of another world.
Yes.
Reminds us that we're citizens of another kingdom.
Yes.
That's what I immediately thought of when you said, you know, looking forward to Christmas Day is like what the world does.
Yeah.
And Advent is otherworldly, or is not like this world.
So it's almost...
this world is not our home, kind of thing.
Christians are always trying to talk about and think about and debate about reforming Christmas Day and, you know, less presents, more church, less this, more that. Where I think if we brought back more emphasis of Advent, both in the church, the four Sundays running up to Christmas Eve, but also in the home, that kind of 4 weeks in advance, then I think we'll see reform of Christmas Day amongst Christians.
Okay.
Because they're no longer anticipating just a day, they're anticipating Christ and seeing it in a way more expansive manner than just we're celebrating, quote, the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
We're celebrating Christ. So I don't know, maybe we have to claw back, claim back more of December, more of Advent, to see a deeper thinking of Christ's return, of Christ's kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, the Advent season, or the observation of Advent, is training us even to see the December 25th commemoration with better eyes, with wider eyes, with clearer eyes. We're you know, developing the sensibility those first 24 days of staring at the glory in some way, anticipating the glory in some way, so that when the glory comes, we're actually not just excited for it, but we actually have the capacity to see it.
Yes.
And not just, oh, like, what's the biggest thing under the tree and all that sort of thing.
But that also means that on Christmas Day, we can enjoy those elements that the world has added to it. You know, the giving of presents, family time. I'm now in America, so we're probably going to have to watch the Chiefs on Christmas Day.
Are they playing Christmas Day?
They're playing Christmas Day. Right. So yeah, I'm probably going to have to do that.
Yeah.
But we can enjoy those things without feeling guilty, because we're actually spending most of our time in that expansive view of knowing that Christ came to be countercultural. And as we celebrate Jesus, we recognize that we can celebrate all the giving of joy that he has given us, family, friends, sports, whatever, because we're no longer just treating it as one day. When you treat it as one day, you feel like that day has to be super uber spiritual. Yeah, it has to be, because this is Christmas Day. This is what we celebrate. We actually go back to, well, no, Advent is this big, massive buildup. And really, Christmas Day is just the pure celebration of it, rather than all of the buildup, everything together.
What have been some things that you've done, either as a family or just in the churches that you've pastored, that you have found especially helpful or meaningful during the Advent season?
Yeah, I would say you could split this up into kind of three sections, the church, the family, and then individually, because I think I do different things. For church, we've used candles. I think that's a lot of churches will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Four Sundays, love, joy, hope, and peace. And each Sunday has a different candle.
And then you have the Christ candle.
And then you have the Christ candle in the end. What I tend to do is speak just a little bit about how Christ brings those things. And in celebrating his birth and ultimately his kingdom, we can enjoy those four elements that we are seeing. In churches in the past, what I've tended to do is get different people to light those candles. And what I will often do is, I've had 1 year where I did different families. I had 1 year of people that served the church but in background roles, so you don't maybe know who they are or what they do. I've had the church leaders. I've had children. I've like tried to make this as a church body. We come together. We light this candle, but ultimately we all get to celebrate this element. I've always done an Advent sermon series, but I wouldn't necessarily say I've done all four Sundays.
Oh.
Sometimes I've
That's interesting.
I've had a series that needed to end.
Oh, so okay.
Had to finish that off and then move off into
December 15th.
Yeah, and then move into Advent.
Okay.
And then also usually during that season for church, I increase my visitation quite significantly for the church family, just because I think there is a lot of people that do struggle as they come to Christmas, as they come to Advent, of loneliness, of health difficulties. And I think just reminding them that this isn't just about a day where you're going to be at someone's house for a meal, that this is a whole season where we can anticipate with joy that Christ has come for you, for the individual, for the old lady at home, for the old man in the care home, for the child that's sick at home, all those things. So I kind of increase my visitation to encourage that. Staying on church, what would you have done within church setting?
Yeah, at my last church in particular, and this was a tradition that I, you know, sort of inherited or discovered there that I really enjoyed. We would do the dedicated readings and the candle lighting. So each Sunday, and there'd be a different family in the church who would do the reading every Sunday, and a member of that family or, you know, member would light the candle, and then I would do, you know, a 4-week series leading up, you know, leading up to Christmas. And I always thought that was really special. And then on Christmas Eve, we'd essentially rehearse it all over again.
Yes.
You go through the whole thing. Somebody would light each candle and do a reading for each candle. And it was almost like we're kind of rehearsing the last 4 weeks just in that Christmas Eve service. And that was really special and sweet as well. I like that. It, you know, it might make your service a little longer.
Yeah.
But it just, I think, elongates what needs to be elongated in that season, and not feeling like you're, oh, I'm heading for the Super Bowl of you know, church life, which is Christmas.
It's meant to be longer because we're anticipating Christ's birth. We're anticipating his kingdom. So the whole point is actually we're going to stop so we can
I was thinking about this earlier as well, and I think you touched on it when you said this is a time of, you know, when you know, to do more visitation because this is a time where people are maybe struggling a bit more. You know, there's always folks in your church and in your community for whom this time of year can be bittersweet or painful because they lost a loved one around this time of year. So while everyone else is ramping up to celebrate, they're like, oh, this is the year we lost dad or mom or whatever. Or they've lost someone in the last year and this is the first Christmas without so-and-so or something like that. And as, you know, as families get older as well, you know, kids get older, traditions change, and there's just always like milestones, things like, oh, their kids won't be home this year. So there is a pronounced, you know, for some folks, it can be, you know, ironically somewhat painful or just hard or melancholy.
Yeah.
And the winter sometimes does that anyway. So you have these kind of compounding things. So the reason we just go full bore into candy and tinsel and Christmas movies and everything is to sort of medicate against that stuff. We think, man, if I slow down and try to be thoughtful or whatever, like all those feelings going to come rushing in. And the problem is if you try to, like, you know, not face those feelings and use Christmas as some kind of holiday drug to medicate against it, it's not going to satisfy you, number one, and you're actually only going to make the problem worse. So slowing down to let the Lord minister to you in those hurts can actually make for a more, make for a more enjoyable Christmas season, I think, because you're, in some ways, not, you know, trying to quench the Spirit's work while you slowly kind of meditate on the gospel.
Where I really learned that was about 3 years ago. So we moved here to Kansas City. In my previous churches, we always had loads of services and different things going on in December. Carols by candlelight. We would do Christingle. It's very British, where that's Christmas Eve. We would.
That sounds like a person, Chris Tingle.
No,
like Chris Kringle.
No.
Oh, okay.
There's like a
just cousin Chris Tingle.
If you're listening, look it up on Google. It's the easiest way to explain.
I'm gonna do it right now. Keep talking.
And we would do multiple services in the local schools. We would do multiple services in care homes, and it would get crazy for me. I would do like 20, 25. Different services, multiple schools, multiple places. And I was always exhausted as a pastor. Come Christmas Day, I would do a Christmas Day service and then I would take a week off after Christmas. And I was always exhausted. When we moved here, I went from doing all of that to basically nothing and being able to attend what our church currently hosted. I wasn't involved in anything. So I went from the busiest seasons to the quietest. And 3 years ago when I went from the, you know, doing 25 speaking engagements to zero, it suddenly dawned on me how beautiful it is to slow down.
Yes.
and actually spend time reading, praying. I'm a big believer in sitting with no books and no agenda and just kind of sitting, thinking upon the Lord and thinking about what he's done in your life and what he continues to do. And the more I have done that over the last few years at Christmas times, the more I'm pretty sure if I go back to pastoral ministry that I am not going to do 25 speaking events in December because I want to model for the church.
Yeah.
Stop running to 100 different things because that's actually ruining your anticipation of the Lord. Slow it right down.
Yeah.
And if we can slow church down, maybe, just maybe, they'll slow down their life as well. I don't want to add to that. I also don't think it's a major problem if you do have events. It's just think fewer and better rather than more and shallow. That's kind of what I'm kind of getting.
I told my wife that I wanted as little on our calendar as possible for December.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a whole year ahead to go, 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 go. And yeah, we do. So why not treat the winter months? Sometimes it's harder to travel anyway. Yeah. We're going to Houston for Christmas to see family. And let's just, apart from the things that we know we're going to do, mm-hmm, you know, let's not fill it up. Oh, look at all this empty space. Let's fill it all up. But it's so important to slow down. If you take anything away from this, slowing down, I think, is probably the main lesson. And when you slow down, actually, the stiller you are, the more you have time to dwell in God's word and in prayer and so on and so forth. I looked up Chris Tingle.
Yes.
It is a weird British thing.
It's a weird, well, it's German and British.
Oh, okay.
But it's used as a...
It's like a candle and an orange.
So the orange represents the world. There is then a red tape that goes around the orange, and that's the blood of Christ around the world. And then there's four cocktail sticks that have candy on each side, and that is the blessing of the Lord going to the four corners of the world.
Where does the dried fruit come in?
Well, you can also use dried fruit on this side. It's something sweet. The idea is it's something sweet, the sweet message of the Lord going to the four corners of the world. And then there's a candle that goes in the top, Jesus, light of the world. And so it's quite evangelistic. You invite your whole community to come to the church. You make these, and then you go and stand outside with the candle in the air and you sing Christmas hymns, Christmas carols.
Okay.
And so the whole point is it's just an active thing to bring the community into your church.
It seems like the kind of thing like a kid would invent just with random stuff in the kitchen. I'm going to stick this in here and I'm going to put these other things on the side.
What I will say is
I'm going to put a candle and an orange. And
every
then...
year we've done it, it's been super successful at bringing people to the church.
Right.
And so, you know, we did it with our community group here at Liberty. And the community group were like, whoa, we love this. So all I'm going to say is we're infiltrating the British things.
So taking over.
If we're talking about Advent, we've got to talk about devotionals.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we should probably mention that
you have an Advent devotional. Yeah, I don't know. You probably have time to prime this. You should pick up Gifts of Grace, which is my Advent devotional from the Good Book Company. It came out a couple of years ago. And the aim behind that is like the Advent calendar. We didn't talk about Advent calendars at all.
Mm.
The Advent calendar, the design behind that is, or the idea behind that is that it helps you anticipate the coming gift of Christmas because every day you open up that little door, that little window, and there's a little treat inside of there, a little chocolate, a little toy, a little something. And it's just a little thing to kind of whet your appetite for the big thing to come. And so what I've done in Gifts of Grace is treat every chapter like it's opening up that little door. It's an Advent calendar, and you open that up, and there's a gift of grace. It's looking at different facets of the gospel. So every day, you just look at a different angle on Christ's finished work, and hopefully it just, you know, gives people the time and the opportunity to stare at the gospel for 25 days.
Yeah.
Slow down and stare at the gospel for 25 days. So I appreciate you mentioning that. I was about to wrap up the episode and I hadn't even...
Well, the only other thing I was going to say is by Jared's, not Ronnie's.
There you go. Advent. Yeah, we had the Advent Civil War last year, a couple of years ago.
I actually got both last year. Or was it last year? I think it was last year.
Okay.
Did both yours in the morning, Ronnie's at night.
Okay.
And then Ronnie gave me homework.
Oh, he had homework. He was law, I'm gospel. You want 25 days of gospel, brothers.
Honestly, I would say I would go for yours, but I like the design of Ronnie's.
Yeah. I mean, mine was from Good Book Company. It's designed to buy more copies and hand them out. And
yes.
His is more of a gift kind of book.
There's something nice about his book. But yeah.
You put his on the coffee table.
Yes.
Mine's on the nightstand.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Good stipulation.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, you could order that from Amazon Prime and probably get it in the next day.
I don't have one, by the way.
Okay. You don't have one?
I don't have a devotional.
I was actually looking for one today because of that other podcast.
No, I have yours.
Oh.
I don't.
You don't have an Advent devotional.
I don't have an Advent devotional.
Well.
If you want my thoughts, you can text me.
One of these days. Don't say that. People will do it.
Yeah.
That'll give you some busy work. If you wanted homework, just look at the text. If you enjoy the podcast, dear listener, give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church. You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.